Paul Hankins.
And welcome this time to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes, what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared.
That's right.
This week we're doing something a little different. You notice we're not wearing On the Air with Power Squared t-shirts, which are available at our shop. Instead, we're going to talk about Batman.
Yes.
One of the big three of superhero comic books, at least as we see it. You may differ, and welcome to that opinion.
Yes.
But sort of like Superman, Spider-Man, and Batman.
Yeah.
And Batman was created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
Yes.
A long, long time ago.
Yeah.
30s or 40s. We're not pretending to be experts about Batman.
No.
And there, if you're watching and you know more than we do, all the power to you. And if you're watching while we're doing this, if you want to leave us comments while we're doing it in the chat, please do. If you want to leave comments later, you can do that as well. We're just sort of, again, since we do a superhero comic book, we thought we should talk about other superhero comic books.
That's right.
So, let's talk about Batman.
Yes.
What's your first experience with Batman?
I think it's kind of this, I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I was aware of Batman kind of when the Tim Burton Schumacher movies were around.
Okay.
And I was kind of aware of Batman, the animated series, but I didn't watch it because I was too young at the time to even understand that it existed.
Okay.
I think I got more serious about Batman with the, maybe it was the Scott Snyder comic book run.
Okay. My first experience with Batman was the television series when I was a kid, which ages me quite a lot.
I just got a reminder. Okay. The first Batman series that we actually watched was The Batman on Kids WB.
Ah, okay. Well, I don't have somebody reminding me. Send me a little text. No, it's just fine. For me, it was Batman on the television show.
Yeah.
Kind of the campy.
The Adam West series.
Adam West, yes. Sort of that kind of a campy approach to it. As a kid, I didn't know any different.
Yeah.
And what was really cool, and I think I mentioned this when we were talking, I have a distinct memory of walking the halls of Arthur Kramer Elementary talking about the Batman television series. Because it was, one night it would be sort of it would leave a cliffhanger, and then the next night it would sort of, I guess I'll say, relieve that, you know, he'd always be in peril, and the next night he'd get out.
Yeah.
And as I was pretty young, it was pretty cool. And it was, again, it was sort of must. You had to watch it. There was no tape. There was no DVRs. You know, if you missed it, it was gone.
Yeah.
Until reruns. But as a kid, you didn't know that would ever happen. So I remember watching that. And I guess I'll get a little personal. I remember my parents were divorced and I had visitation with my father. Yeah. And as I recall, Batman came on during that one night a week we'd see him. And it was not his Batman. I wasn't sure what his Batman was, but he kind of didn't really think it was. He thought it was too campy, I think. And it was, you know, it was sort of a little over the top camp.
Yeah.
With the kapow and all that kind of stuff. So that was my first real experience with Batman. I never really read the comic books.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. It just wasn't part of my culture, I guess, at the time. I was around anybody that actually read them.
And you didn't really have the opportunity?
Well, there was no, I mean, the only time I ever saw comic books was either at the 7-Eleven or at the grocery store, and parents did not want to spend money on something foolish like comic books. You know? when eggs were, you know, 10 cents a dozen or whatever. But, you know, that's how things were.
If you had the opportunity to read Batman, do you think you would have?
If I was a kid at the time and it was sort of similar to what was on the TV show, I probably would have done that.
Right.
If it was, I don't know what was going on in the 60s. I was watching that. I don't know what the state of Batman was as a comic book at the time. I assume it was out and somebody was reading it, but it just wasn't being read.
Yeah.
And nobody at school was saying, "Hey, I got this issue," which probably would have helped a lot. So Batman has been in movies, which is maybe in television.
Yeah.
Before that, back in the 40s, I think somewhere we actually have these. Batman was a serial at Columbia Studios. They did two serials of it. This is back before movie studios were either owned by or owned comic book companies. You licensed the character and you made a series out of it. Sort of similar to the Fleischer Superman.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about later. So he was then fighting the Japanese in World War II. As you said, everybody was fighting the Japanese in World War II. So that's basically how that... thanks. We're getting to that. That was... I never saw those until more recently when I actually worked at Sony. So those were out. So the first time I ever saw them on film was the Tim Burton Batmans.
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton. And the first two were pretty good.
Yeah.
The problem was they kept going. And Tim Burton wasn't involved and Michael Keaton wasn't involved. And it was Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did. He do all the next three?
Tim Burton did the 86 Batman.
Uh-huh.
And Batman Returns.
Okay.
I think that was the sequel. Okay. With the Penguin.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then Schumacher did Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. I've only seen the first Tim Burton and Batman and Robin.
Okay. Well, the first Tim Burton film was way bigger than anybody, I think, was thinking it was going to be. I mean, there was, you know, I think like Jack Nicholson, if I'm remembering right, made like $75 million off the movie with the merchandise and everything. I don't think anybody was expecting that at the time.
Yeah.
And since our mic is muted.
Let's just keep going.
Oh. So they made a sequel and then they kind of ran into the ground.
Right.
And by the time it got to be George Clooney as Batman, and it just wasn't quite right. I mean, you have to give George Clooney credit. He survived a major failure like that. But it was just not, wasn't right. It was getting kind of campy in a way like the television series was getting.
Yeah.
So it wasn't good. And then they, of course, it was on television, which is probably where you saw it.
Yeah.
Cartoons. And those cartoons are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then they came back with the Dark Knight Rising.
Dark
Knight Trilogy.
Yeah. After the failure of Batman and Robin, I read he was actually he wanted to do Year One.
Mm-hmm.
An adaptation of that, but it idea didn't really go anywhere, but they let Christopher Nolan do the Dark Knight trilogy,
right?
Which started with Batman Begins, and then it was The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
So we actually have the Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah. And Batman Returns.
Which is the name of the sequel.
Yeah.
We did no rehearsal for this whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay. So those got really dark by comparison, especially the one with
Heath Ledger.
Yeah. He drove a pencil through someone's head.
Yeah.
very dark for somebody that, again, grew up with Batman being campy and the Joker being kind of harmless. So what did you think of those?
That's actually a good question. Of the three, the Dark Knight was probably the best one, if only because you could view that independently.
Right.
And it didn't retread Batman's origin like Batman Begins did.
Right.
And then the Dark Knight Rises was just a huge letdown overall. Because, well, the story was just not as focused.
Right.
Like, you have Bane as the villain, but then it turns out he's not.
Right, yeah.
So, kind of wonder what the point was of hyping him up so much. And then they hint at Robin, and of course that was never going to go anywhere, because Nolan wasn't going to do any more of that.
Right, yeah. They did kind of hint Gordon Joseph.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah. Three names.
Yeah.
I'm horrible with names, as Paul here could tell you. it went really dark by comparison.
Yeah.
And it just sort of, after three, then they, again, one of the things about Batman is he's rebooted more than most, you know, every character he gets rebooted more than anybody else, it seems like.
Yeah.
Because then they rebooted it with Justice League.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
As.
Yeah.
I did the duck thing, didn't I?
Yeah. Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah, right. So what'd you think of him? Somebody here thinks he's the best.
Right. I'm not really sure how I felt about him, because I honestly don't remember Batman v Superman all that much, because it was just kind of I thought it was a bad movie.
Coming off of a disappointing Superman.
And then with Batman v Superman, the fight ends very anticlimactically, at least to me. So I guess if the movie was more memorable, I'd have more to say about it.
Yeah.
Or more about him as Batman. I know Ben Affleck was in Batman and other stuff, and I guess he was better in Justice League.
Okay.
I guess. Honestly, it's really hard to remember those movies.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of too dark for their own good.
Yeah.
And then Justice League was a kind of a, not to get too much into detail about Justice League, but that was kind of a bifurcated movie.
Right. As I think someone pointed out, I was probably on television on a sitcom at the time, that, you know, couldn't Superman just have used his heat ray and pretty much killed Batman? So the idea. But that was also in one of the animated movies we watched, where they had that fight.
Yeah. That was a Frank Miller adaptation.
Right. And again, he...
Dark Knight Returns.
And he killed...
Yeah.
Superman there too.
Well, right.
Yeah. Huh. Anyway, so the thing you think you couldn't kill somehow gets killed twice by a guy without any powers.
Or gets overpowered.
Overpowered, yeah.
Getting back on track.
Okay, sorry.
And then there's an upcoming Batman, we think.
Right, which is, it's in production.
Yeah.
With Robert Pattinson?
Yeah. Though I don't know the status of that right now.
I think it's being made. I don't know anything more about the story.
Right.
And I don't know if it's a reboot again.
I'm not sure.
The other problem with, I guess, just the DC films is they're sort of just all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, I think, am I right? I was, no, Jared Leto's coming back as Joker in some other movie, I hope. Because I think he was terrible, the Joker. But we're not talking about the Joker here. But
right.
I just thought he was horrible as the character.
Right.
So now, Batman has not disappeared from comic books. As you mentioned, you've read some of them yourself.
Yeah, I mostly read the Scott Snyder run because that was written really well, I thought. I'll admit I didn't read the whole thing. I kind of, for a number of reasons, I just happened to kind of stop reading around when Jim Gordon became Batman. Anyway, I own the whole run. So this, the first issue. Got from when it came out, so I guess it's a collector's item at this point.
I remember when the New 52.
And for the longest time, Year One by Frank Miller was considered the official origin story of Batman.
Right.
But then the zero-year run, or zero-year storyline, as part of the Snyder run, became the official origin.
Right.
And in that story, Batman fights the Riddler.
Okay.
Instead of
Joker.
Or, yeah.
Right. The origin story is one of the things that's changed over time.
Yeah.
Ironically, as soon as I posted something on Instagram that we were going to do a show about Batman, I get an email from DC, which was not sent to me personally, but it's, "So you think you know Batman," was the title of the email, and the subject line. And they were talking about how, you know, the things you think you know for sure are not true. They're going back to the original comic book, not the official Year One or Year Zero. But you know that Batman didn't live in Wayne Manor as a child, and Alfred didn't raise him as a kid, and he was the first Robin and things like that. It was kind of interesting. Just as a quick, and I'm sure if you're following DC, you got the same email that I got. Anyway, so what's the difference between how he's depicted in comic books versus the movies?
That really depends on what era of Batman comics.
Okay. The ones you've read.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a super expert.
Okay.
But, Batman was kind of dark in the Snyder run, but it was still done effectively. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, this oppressive atmosphere like in the Zack Snyder stuff.
Right. Okay.
Then there was also going back, I'm aware that Silver Age Batman was a lot sillier.
Okay.
And so Adam West Batman is probably closer to that.
Okay.
Spiritually.
So that would have been my father's Batman. He didn't lie to me, did he? Maybe it was sillier than he thought he liked.
But Batman in the comics, depending on the, I guess, decades that he was done, could either be silly or dark.
Right.
So the movies also kind of ran both ways. It was the Tim Burton Batman. While dark, was also still, I want to say, kind of lighthearted.
Especially the first one with, it was a little, you know, the Joker thing was a little, you would have a guy with glasses, would you? And
it depends, basically.
Okay, well, I'm just curious. And they still continue to make animated movies?
Yes. A small selection here. Gotham by Gaslight, right here. Which has Batman in a much older setting.
Right.
Batman Ninja is a more recent one. Which is basically anime Batman.
Right. Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah, a lot of well-known Japanese talent on that. Batman versus TMNT.
Right.
Which was actually way better than it had any right to be.
Okay.
I want to say. Let's see. Mask of the Phantasm, which is set in the Batman the Animated Series continuity.
Year one?
Yeah, year one and Gotham Knight. Year one is an adaptation of the famous Frank Miller story, and Gotham Knight was a series of, is a kind of, it's an anthology that's set in the Dark Knight trilogy, but you can view it independently, and it's actually, in my opinion, better than the movies.
Okay.
We have Assault on Arkham, which is a better Suicide Squad than the actual Suicide Squad movie. And then we can't forget the Adam West animated.
Yeah, which is sort of trying to bring back the television show.
Yeah. The reason they started doing more Adam West Batman stuff, including a Batman 66 comic line, was because of there are people who prefer the sillier side of Batman and thought that Batman was getting too dark, which is not an unfounded claim at that point in time.
Yeah. So these are okay. I mean, they kind of capture the spirit of the television show that he was in.
But so I found it interesting that Batman versus Two-Face is actually darker.
Yeah.
But it was still lighthearted, but it also edged towards the darker side of Batman, even though it didn't get too far into that.
So something that we'd like to see happen to our comic book would be to see it be made into something like a series or a movie or something.
Yeah.
Animated, right? So beyond just comics, just beyond movies, are also video games.
Yes.
And you have played a lot of video games.
Yeah. I have played the Arkham series. Let's see. They got a signed copy of Arkham Asylum, which is still really good to this day. Arkham City, the sequel, which had a more open world route. Then Arkham Knight, which leapt to generation, is the finale of that trilogy.
Okay.
And introduced the character, the Arkham Knight. And in this one, you could also drive the Batmobile.
Oh, cool.
Arkham VR, which is naturally a VR experience set in that continuity.
Right.
What was cool is that you could, they actually took advantage of this for a kind of horror aspect involving the Joker,
okay,
kind of at the end. But you could also do first-person detective work, which I thought was really cool. Then, of course, you have Arkham Origins, which was made by a different studio than the Arkham trilogy.
Okay.
This one was actually okay because it was copying the same gameplay template, and the voice actors were portraying younger versions of the characters, and they actually did a really good job. The problem was this was buggy as hell.
Okay.
It's funny. There's this nightmare skin that you were supposed to get for 100%ing the game,
right?
But it glitched.
Oh.
You can only get 99%.
Oh.
So instead of fixing it so you could get 100%, they just removed the skin.
Okay.
Which is a big disappointment. And then I actually played Arkham Origins Black Gate on the Vita.
Wow.
Which is a Metroidvania or search action, if you will, take on Batman, that Arkham style, and it actually was pretty good for a mobile game or handheld game.
So I know of Arkham as the Asylum. Are these all based around that, or is this Arkham being sort of more of a universe?
Arkham Asylum actually takes place in Arkham Asylum.
Okay.
Otherwise, the Arkhamverse. And Blackgate is also in Blackgate Prison.
Okay.
But beyond that, Arkham is just kind of tying everything together.
Okay.
Is the Arkhamverse. Okay. And that one, the Arkhamverse, for the most part, was written by Paul Dini, who was a big writer on Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah. Which I like the Animated Series, yeah, stuff.
So it actually took cues from Batman the Animated Series, naturally.
Okay. So, again, that would be something ultimately we'd like to see happen with ours.
Yeah.
Which means if you're watching this, you need to buy the comic. help us along towards that. Okay, so how does Batman relate to Power Squared?
I think we talked about this off camera.
Yes.
Because Batman is usually paired up with someone. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can be solo, of course.
Right, and there's a lot of
being solo. But he is often, when you think of Batman, you also often think of his partner, which is usually Robin.
Mm-hmm.
There have been at least 4 different Robins.
We discussed that too.
Yeah. I know there's more than 4. Anyway, there's at least 4 Robins that that you think of. And there's also Batgirl / Oracle, depending on what point in time Barbara Gordon is at.
Yeah, cause I remember in the series they introduced Batgirl. They had Robin and Batgirl
in
the television series.
Yeah.
They only had like 4 villains that you kept saying before. I was wondering, how they get out of prison so quick? But anyway. So our characters don't have the rich... or
they're not
gadgets that
he has. They're not billionaires.
Right. They don't have the gadgets he has.
Right. But Batman is often seen, Batman is often in a duo.
Right.
And Marty and Eli are a duo.
Right. And they also have to sort of, one of the things about Batman, he is a detective.
Yes.
And he has to sort of think his way out. And I think in some ways our characters have to think their way out of situations because they don't have, you know, Superman superpowers.
Yeah.
They can't just necessarily, they have to think a little too.
Yeah.
So I think that's something else we have in common.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say about this wide array of Batman lore?
Well, I guess the question is, why do we like Batman?
Yes, why do we?
Well... even though he's a vigilante, I think the most attractive thing about Batman as a character is the fact that he doesn't have any powers. And he has to overcome that while also using detective work to think his way out of a situation. He's a resourceful person.
I think people like the idea of a vigilante that's on your side.
Yeah.
Kind of because the world is... for the most part sucks, and you want hoping that there's somebody that will right all the wrongs that are going on, because obviously, and they set up Gotham depending on the situation to be this totally out of control town.
Yeah,
can't handle anything, you know, and so you need somebody like Batman to sort of be the authority, unelected authority that would come in and sort of right the wrongs, kind of like going, you know, in some ways Robin Hood going, you know, Robin Hood sort of made. Kind of try to equal the rich and the poor, and Batman sort of kind of does sort of a similar thing with crime.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, yes, he has technology and grit.
Right. Yes. Yes. The determination to do stuff.
Yeah.
And because there are all the times we think he's just, might as well hang it up, he comes back.
Yeah. Also, it's interesting how he, when he's, ahead of his opponent, he is interesting how far ahead he seems to think.
Right.
Like in the Injustice games.
Yeah.
He has thought of every contingency just in case Superman would ever turn evil.
I remember as a kid watching Batman and Robin figure out some clue that the and it was always like, well, it starts with the PH. That's like fish. He's going to rob the aquarium. All these leaps in logic that they were managed to pull off.
Well, and then the animated ones, it was like a piece of tinfoil or something. Yeah. And then somehow there's like the TV dinner factor.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be a little over the top as far as figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
All right. I want to see if anybody has any comments or questions or anything.
Sure.
Does anybody have any comments or questions? Okay. A lot of dead air. We're just all right. So, anything else you want to say before we wrap up the show?
I'm not really sure.
Okay, I think it was. I mean, I think it's a very interesting to kind of makes it. It was interesting, I think, to do this because we had to sort of like think about how does this relate to our own.
Yeah.
In some cases it does, in a lot of ways it doesn't, and that's all right. There's a lot of indie superhero out there that do not fit into the, you know, have gadgets or whatever.
Yeah.
Though I'm sure there are a lot that do.
Yeah.
I mean, was it Geek Girl puts on her glasses and turns into, you know, so that's kind of a gadget kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have gadgets.
No.
There's all the merchandise that we're missing out, I'm sure. The next issue, gadgets. All right.
So I think that'll wrap it up
right
for this installment.
Right.
If you are watching this on YouTube, be sure to, if you like this, leave a like. Subscribe if you want to see more. Ring the notification bell if you want to see exactly when these go up.
All right. So until next time, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.